A reading from the book of Genesis. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Isaac grew, and on the day of the child's weaning, Abraham held a great feast. Sarah noticed the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had born to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she demanded of Abraham, "Drive out that slave and her son. No son of that slave is going to share the inheritance with my son, Isaac." Abraham was greatly distressed, especially on account of his son Ishmael. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed about the boy or about your slave woman. Heed the demands of Sarah, no matter what she is asking of you. For it is through Isaac that descendants shall bear your name. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a great nation of him also, since he too is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham got some bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. Then, placing the child on her back, he sent her away. As she roamed aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba, the water in the skin was used up. So she put the child down under a shrub and then went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away. For she said to herself, "Let me not watch to see the child die." As she sat opposite Ishmael, he began to cry. God heard the boy's cry, and God's messenger called to Hagar from heaven. "What is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy's cry in this plight of his. Arise, lift up the boy and hold him by the hand, for I will make of him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water, and then let the boy drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. The word of the Lord. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for naught is lacking to those who fear him. The great grow poor and hungry, but those who seek the Lord want for no good thing. Come, children, hear me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and takes delight in prosperous days?
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundo Matteo.
Gloria tibi Domine.
When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distance away, a herd of many swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away. And when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon, the whole town came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. Verbum Domini. The proper response to Jesus Christ is to adore him. St. Francis, when adoring our Lord, in his Passion and Crucifixion, he used to cry out, "Love is not loved." By attending adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament, we are doing something both radical and rare. And if we want to grow in our love for Jesus Christ, we should spend time in Eucharistic adoration and adore that love that is not loved nearly enough. This is the work of Christians. Mother Angelica, a poor Claire of perpetual adoration, was well known for this, building an entire shrine dedicated to the adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Mother Angelica reminded us that simply believing in the existence of God is not nearly enough. In fact, even the devil believes that God exists. She said, "Believing has to change the way we live, and that time spent adoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is the best time one can spend on earth." She taught that every holy hour pleases the heart of Jesus and is recorded in heaven. In the gospel today, we witness the exact opposite of the proper response to Jesus Christ. In the gospel, everyone seems to be running away. When Jesus is first greeted by the demons, he finds them doing what they always do, degrading mankind. Two poor souls inhabited by demons are possessed by none other than Legion, who had turned these men into monsters. These two demoniacs come out from among the tombs, a place of death, and were so savage that no one could travel by the same road, that is, until Jesus shows up. It's interesting that the demons' first thought is about punishment, and we have to be careful not to make the same mistake as many people do. When the subject of God comes up, it causes in some immediate distress, saying, "God is the one who will punish me," or "God has punished me in the past," or perhaps "the difficult time that I'm going through now is a punishment from God." We can be tempted to think that God is a God who loves to punish, just waiting for our death so he can put us into our eternal timeout chair. But that's what the demons think. They said to our Lord, "Are you here to torment and punish us before the appointed time?" They don't even wait for an answer, but demand that they be sent into the swine. The demons would rather inhabit pigs, the same animal known for its delight in filth, as much as demons delight in wallowing in sin. Jesus cast them out, saying, "Go," not to do them any favor, but to show his power over evil, and as a foreshadowing of their final end, and to show his liberating power for all mankind. And this is why all who had witnessed the event should have stood in wonder at the power of Jesus. They should have adored him. Instead, the entire town comes out not to celebrate Jesus or admire the miracle of casting out such powerful demons, but they assemble to cast Jesus out from their midst. The townspeople would not allow Jesus to enter their homes, which is symbolic of their hearts. Such was their attachment to the swine and the livelihood it brought them. They could no longer bring home the bacon. The real tragedy of the story is not the loss of pigs, but rather that so many rejected the miracle that just played out in front of them. Blinded by the means of profit and ease of living, now destroyed. And so we have 2,000 screaming pigs all too willing to launch themselves into the sea because demons hold one principle higher than any other. In his book, Slaying Dragons, Charles Frawney compiles wisdom and teaching of many exorcists who confront the devil as a central part of their ministry. In this book, he details the guiding principles of demons, and the first of all the principles is anything but God. And this is central to the goal of these devils, which is to get us to think the same way, to join the great pig run to destruction, to fall into sin, to stay in sin, and die in a state of mortal sin, and be subject to their torments in hell for all eternity. But as Christians, we are called to think differently, to live differently, to love and adore Jesus Christ. We have a choice to make, to love God or to follow the pigs. After all, we will eventually love something, either God and neighbor or self and no one else. We are reminded of this in the Gospel of Matthew, as we are told, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. The proper response to Jesus is to adore him. If you are not yet attending adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament, I encourage you to try and find some time this week to do so. And if you are unable to visit in person, we have a live adoration link available on our ewtn.com website. If you choose to spend time with Jesus in Eucharistic adoration, you will find that desire in you that has yet to be filled will be filled. Why? Well, because it is real. He is real. Everything he claims to be is real, as is his love for you. Jesus loves you. God bless you.